Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies, comics, TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, my co-host, Nicholas Monster.
Nicholas Mind Monster. That's me. Speaking of horrible mind monsters, last week I talked about on New Year's, I ran into a guy like in the summer heat dressed in like dirty Hessian sacks.
Yes.
Wielding flaming chains.
I saw that fan art.
Which is great. Yeah. Matt Goulet sent me some great fan art.
Really good.
About that. But quick update, nobody knows who that character's supposed to be. I assumed it'd be like a Silent Hill character, yeah, or so, Resident Evil. Yeah, nobody has any idea.
Weird.
So maybe it's just in my mind. Or it's just a guy. Maybe it's just a guy who's like, I'm going to debut my brand new all original cosplay character on the streets. And now he's in jail.
But almost certainly. Mm. Well, look, that was a terrifying and sad event for you.
Yes.
And there's been a few of those this week, unfortunately. David Bowie.
Oh, we're good at links this week. But yeah.
I'm not happy about it.
No.
David Bowie passed away at 69 after an 18-month battle with cancer.
Surprise, I didn't even know he had cancer.
Yeah, well, most people didn't. So that's, I mean, that guy, just list of achievements just go on for decades and just...
Yeah.
The amazing stuff he's done in movies and film and just in his personal life. And he just seems like a pretty funny guy as well.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
There's more than one story of like, I read one recently where... Mm. He got into a lift like in Hollywood and somebody was like, oh my God, like with his producer or whatever. And some woman's come up to him and he's like, oh my God, I love you. And he's like, oh, thank you so much. And she's like, you're on General Hospital. You're so good on that. And he's like, oh, thank you for tuning in. It makes me so happy that people are tuning in. Oh, bless you.
So he didn't get upset or anything like that. That's amazing. Mm. Yeah.
New album's great too.
Yeah, no, I've only heard that one song. Uh-huh. That broke records as well. Like it got like 51 million views in a very short amount of time or whatever. Yeah. So... And isn't that amazing? Like, he'd obviously teed it up to coincide with his passing.
Yeah. And you know what? He's been in... He's had some of the best parts in some of the movies that I am ambivalent towards.
That is very true.
The Prestige. My least favourite Nolan film. He's great as Nikola Tesla.
He really is. I want to talk about that later because I rewatched it this week. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, people are fans of The Labyrinth. He's great in Extras as well.
Yep. Little Fat Man. Something, yeah.
Yeah. So just... A massive loss. And, you know, 69 is, it's not very old. It
Best
really
number
isn't.
To go out at, though.
That's true.
Am I right? Up top. We fake high five, then. We're too far away for real high five.
That's right. But, yeah, what a legend. I'm sad for his passing. And also, you got to feel for his family as well. I mean, people pass away all the time. I know that, you know. But, you know, his son's... Duncan Jones, we talked about last week, who's doing Warcraft. He's gone off Twitter, obviously, on social media. And, yeah, so... Thoughts, prayers, feelings, whatever you believe in, you know, go out to all those people. And speaking of Alan Rickman as well.
Yeah.
Didn't know he was sick either.
No.
Son of a bitch. Damn it, Rickman.
Come on, guys.
Yeah. So also seems like a genuinely nice guy.
Yep.
Amazing roles. You know, his first role was Die Hard.
Yeah, his first feature film role. We just, I guess you could just do that in the 80s.
Yeah, that's
you could
right, exactly. And he bloody knocked it out of the park as well.
Yeah,
unbelievable. Obviously, he's got a love for the people who love the Harry Potter franchise. You know, obviously have a love for him. But it's all the other kind of work that he's done. Love Actually. Uh-huh. He's amazing in that as the cheating scumbag husband.
Yep.
But he's really great in it. And I know just he was the kind of guy as well where he really enjoyed the work that he did. And he kind of had a real affinity for the fans. And he kind of, it's, yeah. don't know what I'm trying to say. He just seemed like a nice guy. Yeah, it's a shame.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Great.
Man, they're two people I wouldn't have put in my celebrity Deadpool. Speaking of, best link we've ever done. We're bringing it back. We're bringing it back to hilarity.
We certainly are. Deadpool posters.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, they're, once again, they've ramped up the marketing push on certainly. Deadpool. They've yet to do something that I'm like, this is bad. You've lost this on this one.
Yeah.
This week, I guess they purchased a billboard in LA or in Hollywood or what have you.
Yeah.
And they just keep switching it up. This week, they mocked it up so it looked like a romantic comedy or like a tragic, poignant romantic story kind of thing with Ryan Reynolds, Marina Bacher, and Deadpool, Love Never Dies or something
That's
like
it.
That. And look, we've talked about this in the show. I'm not saying they stole my idea, but they definitely did. No, they didn't. I very much like the idea of tricking a whole bunch of people into seeing a movie that is not the genre or like the content or the tone they're expecting.
That's right.
Like
yeah.
I've always wanted to produce like a trailer for a film. You think it's going to go one way. You get in the cinema. Your expectations have been
completely
ruined and you're mad about it.
Yeah, you're mad
and
about
look,
it, yeah.
If this tricks even one person, I'm happy.
Absolutely. I feel like every movie tricks at least one person, though.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you get someone coming into a matinee, they don't know what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And they pick, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a good example. Kingsman.
Sure, yeah.
And they're like, oh,
looks
Colin
like a
Firth.
Colin Firth. Yeah, yeah, he's in a suit. He looks delightful. Oh, and this is going to be a about the personal life of the PM.
That's right.
He's
going to
be the Prime Minister. He's going to have a tough time balancing his love and his etc. And then he just killed all those people in that church.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Mm. Absolutely. I showed a girl this week that post. And I'm like, would you see this? What do you think of that?
Oh yeah.
And she's like, yeah, that looks good. And then I'm like, what's the trailer? And I'm like, would you see it now? And she was like, it's. Looks very unpleasant. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
though.
Me too.
Are you looking forward to 10 Cloverfield Street in a few months?
10 Cloverfield Lane.
I apologize. I've written street here.
Wow.
And now I've, I don't know.
It's too late.
Should I quit podcasting?
Yeah, you should quit podcasting. Yeah. put a highlight over it and just write shame. It's J.J. Abrams described it as like a blood successor to...
Yes.
The original Cloverfield?
Set in the same universe.
Is it?
Apparently. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. See,
That's what I assumed.
I didn't get any indication of that at all.
See, my understanding was the monsters or monster had taken over, and so they're in a bunker. That was my understanding of it. And there's also, that monster also carries a virus. Is that right? Because didn't someone's head explode?
Okay, so in the original Cloverfield...
Look, I'm not going to lie, I didn't love the original Cloverfield.
I kind of did.
Yeah.
In the original, it's got...
Did
like,
I? I don't know. Towards
you know,
again.
Last week we talked about, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about, you know, all the stuff we really enjoyed last year.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I really enjoyed Man from U.N.C.L.E. That was a good fun. It was great. Now that I think about it, went back and rewatched it, couldn't finish it. I'm like, oh no, this is dragging me down, this film. So look, expect our reviews of stuff to change. Very
certainly.
Quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
I really did enjoy it. And I'm like, well, obviously you can't do the found footage again.
No.
That was originally going to be... All the talk when they did the sequel was like, oh, what if there was another person with a camera and they were adventures or whatever. But I'm like, it's just going to be the same.
Yeah,
it's going to be pretty much the same, same outcome kind of thing.
Can you get John Goodman in a bunker? That was the next.
Yeah, exactly. Can you just film John Goodman in his regular bunker that he lives in? As I understand it, in this, the premise is that Mary Elizabeth Winstead's character.
Yeah.
Wakes up, like she's been in a car accident or something like that,
right.
And she wakes up in this bunker, and then John Goodman's character's like, you can't go out there because there's been some sort of outbreak.
Right.
And it's mostly like her going like, is that true? Or is he just can't trying to...
So she wakes up in the bunker.
Yeah. And she's like...
Who's the guy? Who's the other guy?
I don't know who that other guy is. It looks like Wes Bentley. It's probably not though. We could look it up, but why would we?
How could we?
How could we? There's no way to do it. But I think most of it is set in the bunker and it's kind of a case of, is there anything really happening?
Yeah, sure.
Or is this just a ploy to keep her in this bunker for nefarious reasons kind of thing?
Hmm.
But,
Who's cutting her hair? How long she's been in that bunker for? People are saying, is that the same character from the first one, Lizzie Kaplan, who dies?
No.
They're different characters.
Yeah.
And she died in the first one.
Correct.
Unless it's a prequel, but that would make no sense. Or all the sense. No, it wouldn't make any sense. Are you looking forward to it, though? That's the key to all of this.
Yeah, kind of. But I don't think there's any connection to the original Cloverfield at all.
Really?
Yeah. I don't.
So you think it could be like an anthology film?
Look, maybe. Yeah. Mm. Because when I initially watched the trailer, I'm like, you know, he's like, don't go out there, don't go out there.
Yeah.
My assumption was that this is a set a year, you know, a couple of years in the future where the Cloverfield monster has destroyed everything.
Yeah.
Like the whole world kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of, she doesn't remember for whatever reason. But I think I'm more inclined, having watched the whole thing, I'm more inclined to think it's this kind of small locked room.
I definitely think it is. I don't think there's going to be a lot of stuff out of the bunker.
Mm.
Mm. It's amazing they pulled this off, though. I mean, not really. I guess they could have just, it's not like making a secret Star Wars movie.
Right.
It's like everybody knew they were making this movie,
uh-huh.
but then they were like, P.S., it's a Cloverfield movie, I guess.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's still an amazing achievement that they kept that under wraps.
Yeah.
Mm. We're looking forward to it, probably, aren't we?
Yes.
Are you looking forward to Jamie Foxx in being cast, or has been cast as Little John in Robin Hood Origins?
Origins.
Yeah, none of that. None of that fitted together, did it? That
not sentence. At all. But I think from context, people picked up.
Robin Hood Origins.
Yes.
Why are they calling it that, for one? We just had a Robin Hood Origins movie with Russell Crowe.
Called Robin Hood, yep.
Where...
Who's Robin Hood
Was it just called Hood? Yeah, Taron Egerton. I think it was called Robin. It was Ridley Scott. It was garbage. Though, Oscar Isaac is in it.
Ooh.
Remember there was going to be a version of that where...
Because that's it. That's him pre-fame.
Yes.
To us, anyway.
To us, yes.
Yeah.
That movie was originally, Russell Crowe was going to play the sheriff and Robin Hood.
That's correct. Or
some weird twist. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Jamie Foxx is Little John, though. So there you go. In this new film.
If I remembered more about which one Little John was, I'd be thrilled or ambivalent.
Isn't he the giant one with the stick?
That's Friar Tuck.
I don't believe that's true.
Friar Tuck's got a stick.
They've all got
sticks. He fights Robin Hood on like a log.
Yeah, Little John fights him on the log. Friar Tuck doesn't have a stick. He's just a bald guy.
Why are we? What is this?
I've got pictures of him, and he's holding a stick in all these pictures.
Ah, he's also a bear.
That's right. He's also a bear. Okay, I think that's an underrated Disney movie. Actually, that one, the Robin Hood one.
The voice of Robin Hood just died as well.
What?
The voice
from
of
the
yeah,
fox.
The anime, the fox. He just died as well.
The fuck is happening?
I know.
And bloody Motorhead guy died.
Motorhead died. All these people I assumed would live forever. Lemmy especially.
Yeah.
Because he's just...
How old was he? 71?
Yeah. Because he's just powered by, like, tequila and, like, bourbon all day. Like,
absolutely is.
Yeah.
He was born in 45. So, yeah. 71-ish. Mm. I don't know, man.
We don't know.
I'm not a bloody scientist, am I?
No.
Yeah. Do you care about Robin Hood?
Maybe now if Jamie Foxx is in it.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, he made Stealth.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I've never seen that
one. But he's also made some good films.
That's true. He is actually, he's got some skills, man. Mm. I don't doubt it. Speaking of...
The one with Tom Cruise. Where's the assassin?
Vanilla
the
Sky.
No!
Assassin Taxi.
Yeah, Assassin Taxi.
Oh, no, Collateral.
Crazy Taxi.
Collateral, with the one where Jason Statham turns up as the transporter.
That's right.
Set in the same universe.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Yeah. Also set in the Cloverfield universe.
True. Tom Cruise. He couldn't find the... He probably could. Let's see about. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Batman v Superman, new TV spots this week.
Little clips, yeah.
They didn't spoil much, did they? Which was good.
No, but we kind of... they kind of did, though.
You don't want to see it? I kind of made you watch it before we started.
Yeah, look, the spoiler for me here is that my son, based on the other... Spoilers, not spoilers. We're all just guessing here.
Sure.
But from the previous ones, I assumed there was going to be... we see Superman... crash the Batmobile.
Yes.
And he rips the doors off and then there's like...
A punch.
There's a punch on.
Yeah.
Or no, there's a standoff between the two and Superman's going to be like, I'm going to take you in, Batman, and then Wonder Woman intervenes. That was always my assumption.
Sure.
But in this, he just flies off.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll give you this one. I'm off.
Yeah. And Batman makes a very thinly veiled threat. Not even thinly veiled. It's just a threat.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah. Do you reckon he knows Superman could hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably would, wouldn't he?
Good voice modulator.
You happy with it?
Yeah, a lot of people are. Finally, good work. Yeah. It's only taken a decade.
Don't you think, though, it'll get to a point in a few years where people are like, hate that?
Nope.
You don't reckon?
I'm fine with it. It's
okay,
fine.
Fair enough. Good. No, I like it also. I do kind of wish he always had the white eyes. Batman.
Mm.
I kind of wish that, but we can't have everything, can
can't
we?
Can't have everything, can we? No.
We can't have
Don't have the budget. Don't have the budget for white eyes.
Though it will turn up when he wears the mech suit. They also released the soundtrack...
Right.
And it,
oh, and it's got all the titles on
it. Yeah, look, and it's I read it and I'm like,
Superman and Batman team up at the end of Fire Doomsday.
Yeah. Yeah, look, it's not as explicit as that, but it's like, why would you... Like, Star Wars didn't release their soundtrack until after. They didn't release the book. I didn't even think they've released a physical copy of it yet. You could just get it digitally on the day, and that was it. And the same with the soundtrack or something. I don't know. Mm. So, I don't know what they're doing. Look, I hope I'm in for a surprise. There's rumors of Bizarro now and all sorts of other stuff. And
I saw that. There was a video and it's like, you'll never guess the secret villain. And I'm like...
Was it one of my videos?
No, don't watch those.
Yeah, and it was Bizarro, right?
So
Doomsday is Bizarro, or it's like a combination?
Oh, okay, right.
I don't know. I didn't watch it either. Mm.
Although I did watch your video recently.
Thank you.
On the top five things you're annoyed at in the cinema. Mm. Pretty good.
Thank you. Well, you know what I found out? Someone posted it to me. Maddox. You know Maddox?
I know Maddox.
He did a video like that about 3 years ago, and his first point is exactly my first point. And I'm like,
shut up.
God damn it. So maybe I saw that and copied it. I didn't even know he had a YouTube channel, or maybe, you know...
Look,
we're both just angry.
I don't think there's only one person in the world that wants other people to shut up.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Probably. I like that guy. I'm glad he's got a YouTube channel. Mm. I'm gonna check him out.
That being said, I have seen you text in the cinema. I bloody see you.
Yeah, you have.
Do it.
I know, right?
You do it. You're taking notes or something. I don't know what you're doing. You're a monster.
I do. But to be fair, I don't care.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, folks, if you're watching that video and you're like, should I apply any of these rules to my own life? Can if you care, but if you don't care, don't
worry about
it.
That's right. Do whatever you want. It depends what I'm in. Mm. Often they take your phone, some of the stuff we go into.
Yeah.
Speaking of movies, that's this, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oscars, question mark?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Mad Max got nominated for Best Picture.
Uh-huh.
That's all I care about.
Have they up to like 10 nominees now?
I don't know.
I'm going to look real quick just for the Oscar nominees.
Absolutely.
I'm going to do the most research we've ever done. Oh, yeah, 12 nominations for The Revenant, which I haven't seen yet.
No, me neither.
But apparently it's real brutal.
Because of the bear attack?
Mostly because of the bear attack, yeah.
Yeah.
This one just says Johnny Depp snubbed. Did he do anything this year?
No, he was Whitey Bulger.
Oh, in Black Mass?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah.
I think the makeup kind of threw people. Because he doesn't look like a real person. Everybody else looks like a person, and he looks like a dude wearing makeup.
He looks like a Thunderbird.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, Best Picture nominees, The Big Short.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I heard it's great.
It's good, yeah.
Bridge of Spies.
Haven't seen it.
No,
don't give a shit.
No one saw that.
Yeah.
Brooklyn.
I don't know.
No idea what that is. Mad Max Fury Road.
Great.
But it won't win.
Yeah.
Won't win. Mm. The Martian. Which also...
I don't think it should win. I liked it.
At the Golden Globes this year, it took away Best Comedy or Musical.
It did, didn't it?
So good.
What a farce that whole thing.
It's just... the
I mean, everybody knows.
The Hollywood Foreign Press Association is just... a whole bunch of people who wanted to meet celebrities.
Yes.
So they nominate the people that they want to meet at the red carpet or in the after party or whatever.
Yep.
Or the pre-drinks, I don't know. Mm. Or just walk up to them during the ceremony and just say, hey, I like you and thing.
And you know it's only like 50 or 60 people or something?
Really?
Like it's not like the Oscar, which is like thousands, presumably. I don't know how any of this works. So it's just like, like you said, it's just a group of guys, presumably guys.
Right.
We're just like... Yeah, again, I'd love to meet John.
And then they're like, well, we'd like to meet Matt Damon, but we used up all the other categories, so comedy and musical?
I mean, it's funny. It's funnier than a lot of comedies.
Yeah.
Wasn't Ridley Scott like, I guess this is a comedy when he took the award?
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, so that's pretty good.
The Revenant, Bear Attack, Room. Not The Room.
Yeah, Room. Oh, that's the one with, what's her name? She's great. She's in 21 Jump Street, but that's not all she's known for. It's about like a woman who's trapped in a room for years, right? Yeah, yeah. Who's what's her name? Brie Larson. Brie Larson.
There you go.
There
we go.
Yeah. So no, that's
and Spotlight. Never heard of it.
That's the Catholic the sexual allegations in the Catholic Church movie with Mark Ruffalo and a bunch of other people. Apparently, it's really, really good.
Okay.
So
then.
There you go. All those seem like perfectly fine movies, don't they?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the ones that I've seen were great. Who cares? Amber Heard has apparently been cast as Mera.
In Aquaman. Mera.
Mera.
You know what? The whole bloody franchise, it's so hard to pronounce. Aquaman. I said Aquaman as a kid.
That's how Americans say it. Or people, with American-ish accents. Yeah.
Aquaman.
But I can't say it. I say
Aquaman.
Because we say aqua here, don't we? Yeah. Like aqueduct.
Sure.
Or
aqueduct.
Aquaquarium.
Aquaquarium. Go down the Aqua Aquarium, have a good old time.
She's a good fit.
Yep.
Yeah, great. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
pretty good. I'm looking forward to that one a lot. I think James Wan's doing it. Maybe he isn't. Doesn't matter. Next bit of news.
We'll never see it. We'll see it in 5 years.
Ryan Coogler, who directed Creed.
Yes, he did.
He's doing Black Panther.
He didn't get any. He didn't get no nominations for bloody
Creed.
Creed.
That seems ridiculous. I think Stallone got a nomination.
Yeah.
Which somebody was like, in your face.
Look, to you, specifically.
Yeah, because
in a way, in your face.
Because constantly I talk about how I don't really like Stallone.
Because he's your arch nemesis for some reason.
In a way, I guess he is. I don't know. I got to get back to why I don't like him. Because I feel like I've lost why that's the case.
You've given up hate and you want to regain some hate.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That being said, he's really good in Creed.
Yeah, he is.
And he deserves that nomination.
You said before that he's the one... Him as Rocky is the one role where you don't just see him as Sylvester Stallone.
Exactly.
Collecting a paycheck.
Wearing a beret or whatever the fuck he does these days. Yeah. Mm. So great.
Yeah.
Ryan Coogler's a great choice for that. Mm. What I love about this bodes really well for Marvel. I think ever since this Ike Perlmutter thing kind of split and they were open, the story group was kind of disbanded and directors now will hopefully have more autonomy in terms of what they want to make. And then you won't get something like a Thor the Dark World with Alan Taylor, who also made Terminator Genesis.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, and I don't hate Thor the Dark World. It's fun. Yeah. It's not perfect, but this guy's got like a vision and a style and a voice. Mm. And this is what I want to see. I want to see stuff like that. I don't want to see like, I guess we'll just get the guy who did an X-Files episode in the 90s or whatever the hell. You know what I mean?
That sounds great, though.
Yeah, boy, does it. The reviews are actually in for the first episode of the X-Files.
Is it out yet?
No.
Can we get a copy of it somehow?
I haven't
checked. By watching it on television in a couple of months when it actually comes out? That's what we got.
Yeah.
That's our level of connection.
I've heard it's like...
Oh. Yeah. I mean, you're doing the handy wave motion that indicates it's just okay.
I mean, what do people expect? I mean, it didn't end on a high. It's had one mediocre movie since that nobody saw where a guy who maybe was Billy Connolly, probably not, sewed a dog to another dog.
It was Billy Connolly.
But I think he was a priest or something. Like, he wasn't the guy sewing dogs.
He was Billy Connolly playing a priest.
Yes. Yeah. But he wasn't sewing dogs to other dogs or whatever, was he?
Billy Connolly.
Yeah, in that movie.
The comedian.
Yes.
He's not. The priest. To the best of my knowledge, he's never sewn a dog to another dog. No. I mean, not on stage.
No, certainly not. Yeah.
He used to do those world tour like documentaries. Maybe he sewed some dogs to some other dogs during those documentaries. I didn't watch them all.
Yeah, it wouldn't put it past him. Mm. So there's also Han Solo casting news.
Oh, yes.
We got a short list.
Who's made the short list, though?
Oh, okay, so these are just the names that have been revealed.
Okay.
But
by Disney.
No, a very reliable source, apparently. Who cares?
Yeah.
Look,
I care.
It's just a story we have to talk about.
Right, fine, because we get these every week. It's like, who would you want as Han Solo? Somebody said that it's this guy, a very reliable...
Fine, I'll look it up. I'll find it. No, what?
Is it you?
I wish. No, I could never
do
that.
I don't need to know. It's fine.
All right, good. Just trust me. It's probably legit. Who cares?
Okay.
First one, Emory Cohen. He's in Brooklyn.
That movie that's nominated.
I don't know.
Great.
Scott Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood's brother?
Yeah.
Older brother?
Older brother. Let me check. He's in The Longest Ride, which is one of those Nicholas Sparks, like, we're from different worlds. You ride a horse and I'm a... Whatever.
I am a horse.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a class divide.
Exactly.
And also a species divide. How am I talking? I'm a horse. Oh, he's tapping his feet in Morse code.
Yes, that's right. Oh, sorry, his parents are Clint Eastwood. So one of his parents
Both his parents are Clint Eastwood. Yes. Wow. Genetic. Wow, that's... Hollywood nepotism has gone mad.
It certainly has.
Instead, they're just getting all of Clint Eastwood's genetic material and building another Clint Eastwood.
My understanding is that Clint Eastwood is like an oak tree and then like a nut falls and that grows into a miniature version of Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
He's so withered and sturdy. I don't understand him. Ansel Elgort. From The Fault in Our Stars. Here you go. You know this one. Dave Franco.
Yeah, okay, good. All right. He's a soft baby face man.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. How old is that
guy? A lot of people...
I like Dave Franco, but I don't know if I see that at all. Blake...
Scott Eastwood. He's got that look. I reckon it's going to be Scott Eastwood.
All right. Blake Jenner.
I mean, I've not seen him in anything. Mm. He was in Fury, the tank movie.
I haven't seen it. No, I have seen it. It's fine.
He's in Suicide Squad.
Who's in Suicide Squad?
Doesn't say.
Do you know Blake Jenner?
But I'm taking this casting information from the same place you've gotten these rumors.
He's in Gran Torino.
Gran Torino.
Yeah. Now, Blake Jenner, do you know him?
Look, I'm going to say if he's in Suicide Squad.
You're ignoring the name Blake Jenner.
Is he related to the Kardashians?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know who he is. He's in Everybody Wants Some. Anyway, sorry, what were you saying?
I was going to say, if he's in Suicide Squad and that goes well, I reckon there's enough juice there that they'll be like, look at him in this, he's great, put him in, make him Han Solo.
Gotcha. Mm. Blake Jenner was in Glee and Everybody Wants Some. That's him. He's got the air for it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But I don't know anything about him. Mm. What else we got? Logan Lerman, Fury, again.
Who are these?
You know, Percy Jackson.
What are these names?
Percy Jackson.
Logan Lerman and Sklurple Durple Eastwood and bloody you, the other people you said. It doesn't matter. They're ridiculous.
You know this one, Jack Raynor. He's the Irish guy in Transformers, the last one.
Oh, yeah, that killed all those people for no reason.
Did he?
He kills all the
CIA agents. Yeah, he does. And Miles,
no, I don't like that. That's bad.
You won't like this one either. Miles Teller.
No. He's used up all his goodwill. He used up all his bloody Whiplash goodwill.
Yep.
Used up whatever else the other movie he was in. Probably just that.
I don't know. Yeah. I like him as an actor, but he's not Han Solo.
No.
I mean, none of these. This isn't going to probably end well, whoever they cast. But you know what? The movie will come out and it will probably be fine and everyone will adjust and whatever. But I still don't know why they're making this. And it will probably be great.
What about what's his face?
Who?
From Hook or Pan or whatever it was.
Robin Williams.
No, the guy from Pan.
Garrett Hedlund.
Yes.
No, he sucks.
Really?
In Pan, yes.
No, but he's doing a Han Solo impression.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And no, I don't like that.
I like him. Yeah. I don't care what you think. He's great in Tron Legacy. I mean he was a fine backdrop for all the CGI.
Look, all these guys, I don't, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean,
do you think that if every scene they switched one actor out for another one, that anyone would notice?
No.
I would not notice.
No. So this is apparently going
to... I think I'd be slightly puzzled through the whole film, and I'd be like, something I can't quite put my...
like...
finger on
it. If I knew that guy's name, I
mean, is it a different blaster sound? Have they changed the blaster sound for this movie? Because I don't remember. And then the credits will be like, it's 10 different actors playing Han Solo. It makes perfect sense. Yeah, like that Bob Dylan film.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, they could get Cate Blanchett for one scene.
She could probably do it.
Probably do
She's
it.
She's got some skills, good skills.
Yeah. She's apparently in a very good movie called Carol.
I haven't seen it.
That's exactly.
She's good in everything.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with her.
Yeah.
Mate, she's great.
Han Solo. Cate Blanchett for Han Solo. Is she on Twitter? Let's get her up on this.
Absolutely. Yeah, look, they want to get the Han Solo locked in. The rumor is that he's going to be
before
in.
Filming.
Yes.
You're going to lock it in before filming.
You want him there day one.
That's right.
Preferably the day before so he can read the script. Yep. Maybe try on a vest or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I want vest origins. That's what I want.
Yeah, do you think they'll put in the Greedo scene where
no.
he wins? I think they might.
I would love it if they did. But yeah, so they want him for Rogue One.
Okay.
Maybe for like a scene and then be like, hey, everybody, you guys okay with this? Because if we'll use 10 Han Solos in the next
right.
film.
It'll be like the Rogue One, the squad will be flying through space.
Yeah.
And they'll like accidentally scoot past the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
And it'll cut to whoever it is with Chewie going, you get out of my parsecs, you lousy space scum or whatever. And then they'll just be like the test audience and they'll just see if they all just go, boo, boo. No, I don't like. You know what they could do?
Back of his head?
Yeah, maybe back. But they could just, in different cinemas, test run each of
absolutely,
the actors.
Absolutely, yeah.
And see where the boos are the loudest.
And go with that. Yeah, go with the loudest boos.
Yeah, yeah.
Go with the most divisive. Mm. I think, look, whatever it is, you got to cast somebody who's going to make it their own.
Yeah.
You can't do an impression. Unless
sorry,
you're Garrett Hedlund.
Sorry, Garrett Hedlund, you're out, mate.
But that's
good luck with Pan 2.
Yeah.
Good luck with Pan 2, slightly closer to being Peter Pan.
Yeah.
But it's not.
But it's not.
Maybe
yeah.
we've got room to squeeze in one more.
Yeah, that's it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, look, last week we said that we'd talk about a thing, didn't we, that we were going to talk about.
We said we'd talk about a thing.
In particular.
We're riding high on Star Wars fever.
We certainly are. Mary Sue's in... fiction?
Sure, yeah.
I mean, they can be in real life. No.
No, they can't.
I've already
done this wrong. No, you're spiraling. We're circling the drain.
I was talking to you before. So what we wanted to basically talk about is define what a Mary Sue is and then determine whether certain characters are or are not, whether they fit that certain mold.
Because long story short, we've got the Star Wars The Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. We've got a whole bunch of new characters. And one specifically, people are focused in on Rey, played by Daisy Ridley. And people are like, she's a Mary Sue. And we're like, a lot of people probably don't know what that is. We should probably talk about it ad nauseum.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I read a bunch of stuff and it's very confusing because not a lot of people seem to understand it.
Yeah. And also this was probably kicked off by screenwriter Max Landis.
It was,
tweeting, they've made a Star Wars movie where the main character is a Mary Sue.
Yes.
Worst character ever.
So
shut up, Max Landis. You've ruined the character of Lex Luthor by existing. That's what you've done because, buddy, What's-His-Face has based the character on you.
Yeah. I don't know if people have heard that, but Lex Luthor is apparently based quite heavily off Max Landis' real-life persona. I'm hoping that Lex Luthor is like a mask.
And the real one is better.
Is a
better.
Essentially. Mm-hmm. Look, how do you define a Mary Sue? Where did this start?
Let's talk about Mary Sue origins, please.
Right.
Because nothing is better than a Mary Sue, an origin story.
That's true.
Look, you can probably hang it up. I'll find the name of it. In like the mid-70s, there was like a Star Trek fan magazine.
Mm.
I think it was called Menagerie.
Doesn't make any sense. Why do they call it that?
Because, I don't know.
When they call it like Trek Beat or something like that.
Could have called it Trek Beat. And give me 1 second.
Or Set Phases to Fun.
Oh, very good. Very good. Yeah, look, anyway, so... God, bloody hell. Hang on. I got to find it. I've forgotten the name of it.
A Trekkie Tale.
There we go. And it's like, and it's like one page. It's very short. You can find a link to it. There's innumerable cases of people just putting it on the net. So you can just read it.
Sure.
And essentially, it exists as a parody of fan fiction of the time.
Mm.
Like Star Trek fan fiction. It's sort of a character called Mary Sue,
mm-hmm.
who has always been the best at everything since she was a teenager.
Yep.
And she comes on board the Enterprise.
Yep.
And she's great at everything. And she out-Spocks Spock. like she's, her logic is more ironclad than Spock's.
What?
And she like ingratiates herself.
Is she angrier than Spock? Because even though Spock's always always keep control. But he loses it more than anybody on that ship.
He's real angry.
He's a lunatic.
He's a loose cannon.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, go on.
She can't, because that's a negative trait. So she basically has no negative traits, and she sort of ingratiates herself with the crew.
And they all love her.
They all love her, and then she dies a tragic death, because of course she is...
Did you have the hero sacrifice?
Yeah, she's the hero sacrifice, and she's too good for the world.
By the way, spoilers for every movie and every character we bring up.
Every movie and every character. We're going to do a lot of Force Awakens spoilers, because we've been waiting a few weeks. We said last week, we're just going to spoil it.
Yep.
We're going to talk about all the stuff that happens. I would be astounded if you haven't seen it by now. But if you haven't, give it a...
That's okay, give it off. That's fun. But that's also, that's extended beyond that at this point, hasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so Mary Sue has just sort of been shorthand. Initially, it was shorthand for like just any kind of, you take a piece of fan fiction, mm-hmm. you insert a thinly veiled version of yourself into it.
Yes.
And every character, and your character has no, like it amplifies all your good qualities mm-hmm. and it erases all your negative qualities
yes.
and all the characters in this universe love you and you become part of the team or the family.
Right.
And you go on adventures with them. And, you know, you become the love interest or what have you. And
or you're an offspring or
something.
Oh, yeah,
exactly.
Or
and yeah, and anybody who doesn't like you is a bad person and is swept to the side kind
yes.
of thing. Like that. And there's heaps of fan fiction that isn't like that.
Yeah.
But this is sort of, when there's bad fan fiction, there can often be this kind of Mary Sue character in there.
Totally.
Yeah.
Do you read a lot of fan fiction?
No.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I've got a list of characteristics here.
Although I did read, when The Matrix was big, I did read some fan fiction about a character who was basically the Trinity character.
Right.
Who inserted herself into the Matrix universe, who became like, I'm Trinity, but I'm better than Trinity. And now, Neo, you're not in love with Trinity anymore. You're in love with me kind of thing. And Trinity was sort of pushed off to the sidelines.
That sounds like a really good character.
Solid. Great work. So and yeah, and it's sort of evolved at this point to become sort of...
people who are just good at everything.
Yeah. Mm. But and as...
I feel like the definition is kind of...
Well, that's the
thing
about
this
thing.
It's a bit vague at this point, isn't it?
It's the goalposts have shifted.
Yes.
A lot. And it's kind
of... what's a goalpost?
Who's to say?
Okay,
there's no way of knowing. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And it's lost the element of fan fiction.
Yes.
It's still there, but it's sort of become like you, and it's even been in, people are like, well, it's characters even that are inserted into canon,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yep.
by the actual authors.
Yes. Or even characters who aren't necessarily in, inserted, they're existing characters that a new author has come on board and tweaked them
to
have
make them
Mary
Sue. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I've got a list of characteristics here, which aren't necessarily definitive. Like, you don't have to have all of these characteristics, but it's things that you might look for when
right.
spotting a Mary Sue in the wild, as it were,
yes.
on a Reddit forum.
Sure.
Or wherever you're tumbling. I don't know.
Yeah. And I would also say that, straight up, number one, we're probably going to get the most letters.
Yep.
We're going to get letters and complain about this.
Yeah.
We're going to get YouTube comments.
Sweet.
YTCs,
that's what I call them. I'm in the industry, so.
Yeah, you call them YTCs. Very good. That's nice. That's, I don't think it's a thing.
Right, okay,
I don't.
Yeah.
You can have strong characters that have certain characteristics.
Yes.
You can have characters that are likable. You can have characters that are fan favorites. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily Mary Sue's.
No.
I think it's a real broad brush
Absolutely.
That people paint on characters they don't like
yes.
for reasons that we'll probably get into.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. So this is just, this is not hard and fast.
Sure.
As with all things.
Now, some things are hard and fast.
Certainly.
Like a truck.
Cars.
Yeah.
Trucks, that's a better one.
They're the same.
A train.
Yeah.
I feel that's probably harder than a truck.
Mm.
And look, our opinions vary all the time. And look, we don't want to enter into a debate with anybody about it.
Although people have tried. I got sent a JPEG.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a picture of Rey from The Force Awakens. It was a picture of Luke Skywalker.
Yep.
Underneath it said, here's all the reasons Rey is a Mary Sue. Here's all the reasons Luke isn't a Mary Sue.
Okay, sure. Well, we'll get into that.
And I replied with nothing.
Yeah. So, characteristics.
Okay, I'm
friend of all, and all the characters love him for no reason.
We've kind of
talked about that. Incorruptible.
Okay, sure.
So, the major flaws, if they do have major flaws, aren't actually major flaws. So, it's like stubbornness or a bad temper, but those things like end up helping.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Too
yeah.
kind
it's
of
like when you go into
driven.
A job interview and they're like,
yeah.
What are your major flaws? And you're like, I'm a perfectionist. Sometimes I work too hard and I don't know when to leave the office because I'm just working on work for the company for so much that I'm...
Here's the perfect answer for that.
Yep.
Look, I'm aware that there's gaps in my knowledge, but that's why I want to work for somebody like you and this company because I know that there's room for growth here and I'm definitely ready to step up for that. Give me the job, idiot.
You've got the job.
Thank you.
Here's an actual tip.
Right. What?
No, that's fine. That's a real tip. You can also say something that is a flaw but doesn't have much to do with the job you're...
Oh, okay.
So if you're looking for an accounting... If
I'm a murderer.
Yes, precisely. But I'm not going to murder any of you guys because I'm too busy working hard. I work too hard. No, but you say, like, if you're looking for, like, a job as an accountant, you say, I'm not very good at public speaking.
Right.
But... I prepare lots of notes.
Yes,
so you're like, well, it's not really related to my job. Why are we talking about this?
Good question. Also, don't say you got gaps in your knowledge. I just thought about that. It's a bad idea. Say you've got no gaps or no flaws.
Yeah.
I'm a
real Mary Sue. Anyway, give me this job. Give me this job at Subway.
Just want to be normal.
I'm the greatest sandwich artist in the world, and everyone loves me.
Even though your bread's garbage.
Yeah.
So they just want to be normal. They're like, why can't I be a normal kid or whatever? But right. I've got special powers.
I'm so special. Yeah. Everybody tells me I'm special.
Yeah. They're better at...
I can think of one. What's her face from Twilight?
Yeah, exactly. We'll That's my that. First on the yeah. list, yeah. They're better at other people at things for no reason.
Yep.
Can speak several languages fluidly. They have fluently, not fluently.
I wasn't going to say anything. I've done way too much talky policing this week. I'm not going to do anymore.
You're going to step up. Step off, sorry. Yeah. They'll have like
step a... Step up.
Yeah. magical or like exotic accessory.
Okay.
Like that might be like a Green Lantern ring or a wand or an amulet.
Right, yeah, like an amulet that's like... I've always had it, and I'm since a child, and it gives me special power.
Exactly.
I don't know, but it only works for me. You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're the chosen one.
Right.
They have a tragic family life. There's a massive amount of time initially spent on their physical description.
Okay, sure.
And I know that's very true of like 50 Shades of Grey and Twilight and kind of stuff like that. Like it's a lot of time being like, she's just a regular girl, but she's pretty, but she doesn't know it, kind of yeah, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And also the author is heavily invested in the character, so right. much so that...
Yeah.
They probably won't kill them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they might.
But only to bring them back.
That's true.
As a more,
even stronger.
As a, like,
a being of pure light.
A being of pure light, exactly. Gandalf. Mary Sue.
Really? Okay.
Gandalf the White. No, I'm kidding.
So you mentioned Balaswan.
Yes.
Look, I haven't read Twilight. I started to read it once because I was like, what is this? And then I'm like, can't. This is... And look, I don't mind if people like it, whatever. But it's obviously not for us. It's not written... For us.
I just don't buy... Here's the thing. I don't care if there's a terrible romance and it's poorly made and the special effects are bad and there's vampires that can hang out in the sun and they just become more beautiful or whatever.
Sure.
I do not buy that there's a vampire and he's over 100 years old and he wants to hang out with a 17-year-old girl.
Yeah, sure. Do their mental state stay? It's 17.
Oh, that maybe that's... Well, I don't know. So that's...
We'll never know.
That is the only way of explaining that.
Yeah.
But because it couldn't... And also, he has to hang out at high school all the time.
Oh, can you imagine?
It's ridiculous.
Oh.
You know what you could do? Put a fake beard on.
Not even. Say, I'm 19.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
I don't have to go to school anymore. It's a really good point. But yeah, like, imagine being 100 and hanging out, trying to have a conversation with a 17-year-old girl.
You kidding me?
Ugh.
Anyway, yes, so she probably...
But
is
she's special, though, because you can have a conversation with her.
That's a real...
And you don't want to blow your brains out.
But that's... I have seen that movie.
Right.
And he does kind of fall in love with her for no reason, because she smells right or something. I
now,
don't
one
remember.
Of the... He can read minds,
but
right?
you can't read his mind. He can't read her mind.
Her mind,
yeah.
Right. Okay, because she's special.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But there's no... I think because
that's
just,
why she's so intriguing.
That's right. And because there's just nothing going on up there. That's,
yeah.
That's probably why.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so and that obviously carries over to 50 Shades of Grey where...
Which is literally a fanfic.
It's literally a fanfic where like the girl is just an average girl and she's kind of cutesy and I'm fumbling and I drop my books in an elevator or whatever. And then he's like, I'm a billionaire. Let's hang out
all the time.
So, you know.
That was the tagline for that movie, right? Let's hang out all the time. My tastes are somewhat unconventional. And then it cuts to just like a lounge room and there's Netflix on. It's like, there's like a popcorn. It's like, let's hang out all the time. It's just like, oh, I don't know if I can handle this.
I'm probably from Connecticut.
Yeah.
Or something.
The home of Mary Sue's.
Yeah. You mentioned Luke Skywalker.
Yes.
What do you think about that character of Luke Skywalker and whether he's a Mary Sue? Also, the male Mary Sue's are referred to as Gary Sue or Marty Stew.
Gary Stew, Gary Marty Stew, yeah. Look.
Bowl of stew.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Here's the thing. We're going to mention a lot of characters who have these Mary Sue characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying any of them are Mary Sue's or Gary Stew's or Marty Stew's or whatever.
Bowls of stew.
I'm not saying any of them are bowls of stew. I'm just saying they have characteristics. You can expand this to include basically everybody.
Yes.
But what I am saying is that overwhelmingly, I don't know if it's just because of the name, but it, you almost never have a male character referred to as this.
Like, yeah.
Then almost no male characters are attacked for having these characteristics. It's almost always women.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah.
And it's, you can, for the sake of argument, go, yeah, well, this character's a guy and he does all this. Yeah, but Nobody
attacked Chris Pratt's character in Jurassic World.
Yes, exactly.
For example.
Yeah, for being having the ability to...
The best army guy and he could talk to dinosaurs.
Yeah, exactly.
And whatever.
It was just assumed that he is there because he's the best at that job.
Yes.
And so they gave him the job.
Yeah.
Much as, like, when I work at Subway, I'm the best sandwich artist there is.
Despite the bread.
So,
the pedophile they hired for many years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Dear, oh dear.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, go on. You're good at sandwiches.
I'm good at sandwiches. So no one's ever going to question why I'm there. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
There's a tweet that's, it goes around. It's got like 10,000 retweets or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's some dialogue and it's a guy and he's like, man, I wish girls knew about sports. And then a girl's like, I know about sports. And he's like, oh yeah, name the coach of the Seahawks from the 1970s. You're like, just... You know what I'm talking about? Like, if I say I really like Game of Thrones, people are like, great. But if you're like, the girl's like, I like Game of Thrones, people are like, oh yeah? What do you think? Tell me name all the characters.
Which
name all
book?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all that balls.
You know what I mean? Anyway, that's beside the point. The point is...
Luke Skywalker.
Yes.
Well, the thing about Luke Skywalker is...
The thing is? If Rey is a Mary Sue, everybody on this list is. I think that's...
Okay.
Luke Skywalker especially.
But I don't know about that because he's not very good initially.
Yeah.
Like, he has some abilities. Like, he's an okay pilot. He's not great.
I don't know. He does bullseye some womp rats in his T-16.
Well, he says he does.
Oh, yeah, maybe he's a liar.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe when he bullseyed womp rats in his T-16 that he was using the Force?
I absolutely do. And I think when he said that, the guy next to him would just been like... Can everyone do that?
Right. Look, because I feel that this Luke Skywalker.
Yes.
Luke Skywalker went from knowing nothing about the Force.
Yeah.
Like zero. He didn't even know it existed.
Yeah.
He sort of knew the Jedi Knights.
Yeah, he had a vague idea.
Right.
I don't know.
But he didn't know what the Force was. And then in less than two hours' time, he's shooting some proton torpedoes into a 2-meter exhaust port. And blowing up a Death Star without using a targeting computer. And he may have had his eyes closed.
Sure. I don't think he did.
There's
he
no way of knowing.
Yeah, look, he couldn't have seen very well out of that cockpit regardless.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like as well, he does make a lot of mistakes. But I also feel that the character of Rey, which we'll get to at the end, also, there are mistakes that they make along the way. She is infinitely more skilled than Luke Skywalker. Or she's written that way, or she is that way, whatever you want to call it. I don't doubt that.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I don't know if he fits... There are things that he can do that other people can't do, but then you look at characters like Han Solo. There's things that he can do that other people can't do as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's an amazing shot, and he's the best pilot, and smuggles drugs, which is also a good quality.
So good.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Mm. You know, man. We're not going to say whether they are or not, I guess.
It just occurred to me, maybe Parsec is like a type of, like, trucker speed?
Right. Because
he's like, I made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. Oh, you only had to take 12 parsecs. So good. Most people would have had to take like 15 parsecs.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm really efficient.
Weekly Planet exclusive.
Absolutely. One here, I think, and this very much depends on which version you're looking at from which movie. John McClane.
Yes.
Originally, not at all.
Correct.
Well, a little bit, I guess, because he's pretty good at some stuff. Again, like you said, every one of these characters has a few of the traits that you would expect.
Yeah.
Because they're good at something.
They're good at something. That's why there's a movie about them. Because they're good at something. Right?
But when you get
John McClane's not good at avoiding broken glass on the ground.
No.
But he is good at, say, shooting people.
Yes, that's
or
right.
Or leaping off the side of a building attached to a fire hose.
That's right. Or killing Alan Rickman 30 years before Alan Rickman was killed.
Wow. Ahead of his time.
In a way.
So ahead of his time.
But then you get to like Die Hard 4 and especially 5, which I stopped watching because I'm like, this is unbearable.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just an invincible Bruce Willis action man now who's good at everything. And he was just a New York cop. And now he's just like,
that's how they say it.
He's in Russia, like, I don't know, whatever he's doing, like taking down the mob or whatever he's supposed to be doing there. I don't know.
Do you think the turning point was in Die Hard 4 when he launches a taxi at a helicopter?
Yes, absolutely. Uh-huh. I think it also might be, if you just look at his hairline, if he's bald, then he is definitely
not a Mary Sue.
No, he is. He's leading towards
it. Oh, no, sure, you're right.
And if he's balding, then no.
He's a regular
guy. Not quite,
He's just a regular Joe lunch pail.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's one that might be a bit controversial, though. Batman.
Well, we're nothing if not controversial.
That's very true. It's what we're known for. Batman, depending on who's writing, obviously.
Yes.
Some artists.
Yeah.
Well, it's not an artist, sorry. Some writers kind of insert themselves into the character and give them their own traits.
Yeah, but I mean, because up until probably like the mid-90s, the question was always like, why is Batman even on the Justice League?
Mm.
Like, why? He's just a... like
he's the money.
Yeah, exactly. On the Super Friends cartoon, he was just there for him or Robin to get, like, tied up or whatever.
Sure.
And or just like, tag along in the Batmobile. You know what I mean?
Carried by Superman or whatever.
Yeah, and then the backlash from that was for a few writers like Grant Morrison to just be like, what's the reason he's on the Justice League? Because he's the best at everything kind of thing.
Yes.
And then that became, for quite a long time, that became his defining characteristic, that he could do anything and he had all the resources and all the training.
Yes.
And he was always 10 steps ahead.
That's right.
And, but yeah, nobody likes him though.
No, he's very unpleasant.
He's a real grizzly bear.
And I feel as well though, even he's one of those guys where even his negative characteristics are positives. Like he's too driven. He's too focused. He's too paranoid.
He can make so many Subway sandwiches.
That's right.
Just in an hour. He can just make them just so good.
Do you know what I mean?
Anticipates your needs.
Yeah,
you know
that's
mean?
Right.
He's always got the handful of lettuce ready to go.
He'll give you a single jalapeno just for that kick.
Yeah.
Just for that kick you didn't even know you needed.
Gives you a little wink. Yeah. You go, he's like, I'll throw that in for you. And you're like, ooh.
Hello.
Yeah.
So yeah, but also depends on what version of Batman we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Was it Kevin Smith who, and I like Kevin Smith a lot. He's great.
But you know what the best part about Kevin Smith is?
What?
We always have to add at the front of anything we say about Kevin Smith. I like Kevin
Smith
a lot.
Well, I feel
like
he gets a lot of unnecessary hate. And I genuinely like his work. And I enjoy his podcasts and whatever. And I really like Fat Man on Batman. Anyway, that's not the point. This version of Batman turned out to be a really great writer. And the backlash was, you've just made yourself Batman, or you've given Batman one of the skills that you have, or,
yes,
or kind of that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, Batman Cacophony is the worst Batman story ever written.
That cannot be true.
It is.
Ever?
I've read a lot. I've read at least three Batman stories, and that's the worst one. But that also, he also invents a character in that who.
The guy with the goat mask?
No. I'm talking about, he invents a love interest in that.
Silver St. Cloud.
Yeah, Silver St.
I thought she was already a character.
Maybe.
Anyway, go on.
But he turns her into, if we're talking Mary Sue's, that's a character like, she is amazing and she's the perfect woman for Batman. And Batman falls in love with her and she gains his trust. And then he reveals his identity to her.
Yes.
And then.
She's from 1977.
Okay, right.
So she'd been around. But yeah, he definitely, like, she was nobody.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
she wasn't doing anything. And anyway,
and then he's just, then, okay, and I trust you fully and.
Yep.
I'll reveal my identity and you're the greatest and let's...
Onomatopoeia. Sorry,
go
on. Yeah. Anyway.
And we'll live a life together. Oh no, you've died a tragic death.
Yes.
That's a fan fiction character.
That's a good point.
I feel.
Yeah, can't argue with that.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of terrible Batman characters.
Yes.
Birds of Prey.
The TV series. Yes.
Where, like, if somebody needs... what did you say? I didn't see a lot of that, but if somebody needs telekinesis, they have it.
There was one character in that had a very broad and generic kind of psionic ability where she could basically pull anything out of a hat. She could read minds,
right?
And that was her defining characteristic for a while.
Mm.
But then all of a sudden she's locked in a room and the key's over the other side of the room.
I know.
If only she had telekinesis, and then she does.
Oh, that's
very convenient, right?
That's great.
Yeah, I wish I could do that.
That's a bad show though for idiots, isn't it?
It's a bad show for idiots.
Yeah. What about Harry Potter? He has a lot of these characteristics.
Yeah. More so in the first couple of movies.
Sure, yeah, where he's just like, he's got a very defined kind of, his look is very descriptive. He's got blue eyes like his mother and crazy, yeah, doesn't know what to do with, and a scar. And
he's just a regular, kid, yeah. He's living a poor old life.
That's
and
right.
Then all of a sudden he's introduced into this magical world and it turns out he's rich.
Yep.
And
he's the best wizard.
He's the best wizard and he gets this group of friends that all love him.
Yep.
And He's got a great broom.
He does, doesn't he? He gets given that broom.
Mm.
Yeah.
And at the end of the first one, he can't be killed because he's Harry Potter.
In a lot of those ones, he can't be killed because he's Harry Potter.
Okay, right.
I think at the very end, he can't be killed because he's Harry Potter as well. Spoiler alert for Harry Potter. Because I think, because he dies, and then he comes back.
Oh.
But then he's immune to Voldemort, and he's like, you forgot love. And Voldemort's like, what?
I wish I remembered love.
And then he's dead.
Oh.
But I think that character definitely becomes more interesting. But also, he gets saved by his friends a lot. Like, he's also really not good at a lot of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's very specific in that first book where they go through and they have to pass a series of tests. And one of them is you have to play a giant game of chess. And Ron's like, turns out I'm really good at chess.
Right, uh-huh.
So, you know, it's
sounds like a classic Marty Stew. Ron, you son of a bitch. Good at chess. Into the bin with you. Get out of here, mate.
So, yeah. I think he definitely has characteristics. Like all of us have characteristics, good or bad.
Mm.
What about Doctor Who?
Yeah. Look, let's talk about some Stephen Moffat characters.
Okay, so we're talking Sherlock. We're talking Doctor Who. We're talking Jekyll.
Yeah. All the greats. Look, if there's a number one fan fiction, if there's a number one Mary Sue-esque character where it's just the writer loves the character so much, and it's a version of him. It's equal first, Sherlock and Doctor Who, I
sure.
feel.
Yep. Mm. Absolutely. Because isn't that episode where the undoing of the evil Sherlock, anti-Sherlock woman who's female Sherlock, is that she's in love with Sherlock?
Yes.
And there is her passcode?
There's an episode. Look, maybe it's improved because I didn't watch the last season. Because sure. I'm like, oh, this has totally been Moffatted.
Yep, sure.
I can't do it anymore.
Yep.
But in the second season of Sherlock, there's a character, Irene Adler,
mm-hmm.
who's played by Rachel McAdams in the Robert Downey Jr. movies, and I think she's quite good in that.
Yep, sure.
But in this one, she's like, oh no, she's a superior character to Sherlock. She's ahead of him at every turn, and Sherlock's like, oh no, the only way to get her is to get into her phone, but the phone says, I am locked. What's the password? But then it turns out at the end, the password is because she's obsessed with him. The password is sure. I am sure locked. That's the password.
Like all
one,
phones.
I hate. Yeah, you'd have to build your own operating system for that to happen. To make that, first of all, I've never seen a phone that says I am locked. Have you?
No.
A phone that says I am space for a password locked. It's never happened. It's garbage. And that was the key element of that whole episode.
It certainly
was. To
find
that password.
Yeah.
Garbage.
I understand that. And it's a lot of Doctor Who is kind of like, there's a lot of, I like Doctor Who a lot. I'm behind on this season. I will go back at some point. But there's a lot of like, it just turns out that like they're backed into a corner and it turns out he can reverse the whatever at the last minute. And like he's down and he's out. And then he's like, I just remembered I could do whatever and save whatever we're doing.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But again, every character kind of does that also.
Yeah. But and then also there is an episode. There's an episode of the Tennant Doctor.
Yep.
Where the Master has returned.
Yes.
And he's turned.
Oh, right. Yep.
He's turned the Doctor into a little goblin in a cage. And he's like, I've taken over the world. But then Doctor Who gets the upper hand because he set this plan in motion that everybody loves him and believes in him, and that sends energy into the universe and it transforms him back into the Doctor, and he wins the day.
Like the
because everybody in the world loves him and believes in him.
Like the end of Elf when the sleigh flies, because everyone has to believe.
Right? Yes. There we go. Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah. Absolutely.
I thought you meant the TV series Alf.
Maybe.
Maybe that's how it ended.
How that ended.
That's how it ended.
Neo from The Matrix. You brought up The Matrix before.
Hang on, should I have a go at Sherlock? No, we've had it. We've had enough of
it. You had a pretty good swipe, I think.
Yeah. Martin Freeman's great in that as well.
He is. And look, and that's the thing. It doesn't mean these things can't be enjoyed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even if, because I like Sherlock a lot.
Hey, Martin
like
Freeman in that show is a crack shot. Into the bin, mate. You're a Mary Sue. Because you're good at something.
Neo from The Matrix is the classic, oh, I'm just a nobody, and turns out I'm the most important person in the universe.
Right.
A lot of that goes away in the sequels because it turns out that he's been one of many, and they burn his eyes out.
Sure,
and a whole bunch of other stuff happens. Uh-huh. But that first one especially, But then again, he does kind of build up to it.
Yeah, so
like, he does get his ass kicked a lot.
At no point did anybody ever, maybe they did, but like, nobody's ever gone, you know, on one of those classic Mary Sue characters, Neo from The Matrix, because then it turns out he's the best at everything and he's got a secret power within him. Yeah. Nobody ever says that.
Yeah.
But if you're a woman, people will be like, how does she...
catch the lightsaber.
Exactly.
Exactly. So, yeah, so do you think Neo would qualify as get into the bin, Neo, please?
Yeah, he's going in the bloody bin. He's going in the bin. Especially, yeah, exactly. But more so the first couple of acts of the second movie.
Yes.
Where he's just invincible.
That's right.
And he can fight 50 guys at once.
He's on the stairwell and they hit him with a sword and he blocks it with his hand.
Yeah, and they're like, and like one drop of blood falls and the villain's like... see, he's just a man. You can kill him. Yeah, if you hold him down and just chip at him with a sword for like 3 hours, maybe. But then maybe not. Maybe he just lays down and does, but he won't. So
yeah, exactly. Mm, yeah.
That movie's very unsatisfying.
Boy, is it. Mm. Are you looking forward to the inevitable sequel?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Be good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be real good. Should we talk about Ray, or is there anybody else you want to talk about in particular?
Ooh, hang on, let me think. Now let's talk about Ray.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, so did anything strike you as, like, what, did anything bother you about that character when you first saw the movie? Or second time you saw it? No. How many times have you seen it?
I've seen it twice.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you did, same day. It did bother me that she was just good at the Force for no reason.
Okay, sure.
That was, like, but I really enjoyed the character in, like, up to that point.
Look, so I think...
especially the lightsaber catch.
Okay.
I think it's because seeing Luke Skywalker struggle to get it out of the snow.
Right.
From like a foot away.
Yeah. And then, I don't think I have to justify the character. I think you do. Well, there we bloody go then. No, like, I think it's going to be borne out in the sequels.
Yes.
But look, from what I can, like, Luke goes from a character who doesn't even know the Force exists.
Yes.
Rey does.
Yes.
Rey...
She's like, all of it's true at some point.
No, but I think prior to that, like, she's heard inkling. That's why, right, okay, that's why, sure. Han has to say, look, all the stuff you've heard about.
Yeah, good
you've
point.
Heard about Han's... You've heard about me, Han Solo. You've heard about Luke Skywalker. You've heard about these Darth Vader and all this sort of stuff. You know what the Force is.
Yep.
She's had her childhood to think about it to some degree.
Sure.
So as someone who is Force sensitive... Mm. Who has spent a long time dwelling on the Force. She doesn't quite know what it is, but it's there.
Right.
And I think...
I mean, she does have that moment where it's kind of, her head is kind of unlocked.
Yeah, look, I think whether you think it's a good plot device or not, I think they've put elements in place there to explain why her skill with the Force sort of ramps right up.
Right.
And... I think that, like, initially, yeah, it's she grabs the lightsaber, which is being imprinted in some way with a message or some sort of...
She's got some kind of connection to
it. She's got a connection to it. Luke has a connection to it. He's imprinted that connection on there.
Yeah.
And it gives her a kind of an awakening. And I think also...
Force awakening.
Oh. I didn't even... Oh. It's funny. But I think also the every time... she comes into contact with Kylo Ren, I think that she learns some Force skills through that.
Right.
Yeah. I think that he attempts to open a doorway into her mind to get in there and, you know, crush her and get the information out that he wants. But in doing so, again, after she's had that awakening with the lightsaber...
Force awakening.
Thank you. She kind of instinctively knows.
Sure.
She can see the gears turning and then all of a sudden she knows how to get there going. And again, there's the moment where she, you know, she mind tricks the stormtrooper. That's a story she's heard.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
She knows that the Jedi Knights can control the minds of the weak-willed and she gives it a crack.
Yeah.
And it works.
Sure. That's a good point, because she didn't just chance that, did she?
Yeah, like, she wasn't just... Maybe this will work. Exactly. Yeah.
And I think also a lot of her other skills that she has, like she's a pretty good pilot and she can fix stuff and she speaks multiple languages. She speaks multiple languages and things like that. Like she's the environment which she's grown up in.
Yeah.
Those are skills that she's had to develop to survive.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the reason she's not killed immediately.
Yeah. And that's the reason why Han Solo's a smooth talker and he's good with a blaster.
Yeah.
Right? We didn't see him as a child and he's great at those things. He's not a smooth-talking little kid who's good with a blaster. They're the skills that he's had to develop to become, to get where he is.
Yes.
To become a good smuggler and et cetera, et cetera. Because he's had to talk his way out of a lot of things. He's had to shoot his way out of a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's presumably gotten away from trouble.
With murder.
Yeah.
Well, he has.
And smuggling drugs.
Yes.
You know, presumably he's gotten away from a lot of situations just by the skin of his teeth, like just barely.
Yeah.
There are probably thousands upon thousands of Han Solo-esque characters who haven't done that. They weren't as good at him.
That's sure.
They didn't pick up those skills. They attempted to smuggle drugs because that's where the money is.
Yeah.
And now they're dead.
Sure.
Because they weren't good at talking.
Because maybe he killed them.
He probably killed them. Greedo might have been a Han Solo-esque character.
Of his species.
But he's just not good. That's why the movie's not about Greedo, because he's not as good. So he's dead.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, Rey lives on Jakku. Mm. She needs to talk to people of different alien species.
Yeah.
So that everybody's got that skill.
That's right.
In
Han Solo has it.
Han Solo can talk to Chewie. You can talk to Luke.
Yeah.
Both weirdo alien creatures.
You can talk to Greedo. Greedo's all blibbity blibbity.
You can talk to Jabba.
Yeah, you can talk to Jabba. You know, Jabba can speak English. Or maybe he can't anymore. I don't know. It's called Basic anyway. It's not the point.
I know.
He's a bloody Mary Sue.
Yeah, he is.
But
he's a bin Jabba.
I think. Just
speaking multiple languages, being rich.
Just squash everyone else down.
Owns a pet.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think that's a good...
The Rancor trainer, into the bin, mate. Very sensitive, owns a Rancor. Get out of here. The lightsaber battle.
Yeah.
She beats Kylo Ren in the lightsaber battle.
She's good with a stick.
Yeah. Well, she's good with a stick.
Mm.
I think 3 points to note.
Yep.
Good with a stick.
Yep.
Kylo Ren's been shot.
Yes.
He's been shot with a bowcaster.
And he killed his father, so he's probably a bit upset.
He's probably upset.
Yeah.
Like... Who else has survived a shot from Chewbacca's crossbow?
No, everybody flies like 1,000 feet.
Everybody's dead. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kylo Ren wasn't trying to kill her.
He was trying to capture her. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I guess, I don't know, it probably would have been more satisfying if she barely got away. Maybe that would have been, you know, for me, a more satisfying ending.
Yep.
I don't know, man.
Also, it's Luke's lightsaber. And it's magic.
That's true. It is magic.
Yeah.
I forgot. It's the Excalibur of lightsabers.
Yeah. And I mean, again, if we're talking about...
It's got the spit souls of all those dead Jedi kids in it.
Now that I think about it. But yeah, she touches the lightsaber. She has that revelation.
Yeah.
That Force Awakenings.
Thank you.
It's got a bit of bloody magic in it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
That's why,
like, it's not so much that she called it to herself with the Force.
Mm.
It's the lightsaber met her halfway.
Oh, you think? Okay,
yeah.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah.
And also, and look, this is an excuse for any movie because this is the first of a new trilogy and every story should really be self-contained. We don't really know anything about her.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know where she's from
and
that will obviously unfold. And a lot of people say, well, that's not good enough because, it, you know, like I said, every story needs to be its own thing. But yeah, I think all of this will become a lot clearer.
Yep.
Maybe for the worse or the better, depending, you know, in the next few movies.
Mm.
And that will be a fun time.
Let's see. Instantly liked and trusted by everyone. Boo, into the bin. You know what? She wasn't instantly liked and trusted by everyone.
That's true. Han Solo was going to throw him out.
Han Solo was going to throw out. Rey and Finn got off to a bad start.
Yep, true.
And you know what? They eventually, over the course of the 2 hours, they grew to like her.
Yeah.
You know why? Likeable.
She's pretty nice.
She's got a characteristic that she is likeable.
Yes.
Some people have that.
Some people.
Yeah.
But I think, look, at the end of the day, every character, every antagonist, protagonist.
Remember that time she pulls the fuse out of the Millennium Falcon?
Yeah.
And she tries to close the doors, but she unleashes the monster.
That's true, yeah.
She doesn't. Not infallible.
No. I mean, she gets knocked out at one point.
Yeah.
She runs away because she's scared and a coward.
Yeah.
She does all sorts of stuff.
Into the bin.
Into the bloody bin.
Nah, she's all right.
Every character has these characteristics, every main character of every movie. And there's a Christopher Maverick wrote in. He's a PhD
Again,
student.
Great name.
I know, right?
Yeah.
PhD
student, you know what he's going to be once he graduates?
What?
Dr. Maverick. The greatest doctor of them all.
Totally. A PhD student in English literature who specializes.
He could be a character in like a House fan fiction.
I totally could be. Even better than House.
Even better than House, exactly. More likable than House.
Yeah.
Gets in a relationship with all the girls. Into the bin, Dr. Maverick, anyway.
And he specializes in 20th to 21st century pop culture.
He's good at it. He's better than us
at
something,
right.
Is he? Into the bin, mate.
Especially comic books and movies and how they stand up in new literature. And basically, he's got this article, which I'll link below, which everyone can check out. And it just goes through kind of the idea of a Mary Sue and what that's all about and in summary, that it's okay if there are Mary Sues.
In summary, lighten up.
Yeah, exactly.
Lighten up, you bunch of pricks on the internet. It's fine. They're characters.
Very true.
Why do you want to see? Why do you want to see a movie with unexceptional characters in
it? Yeah, that's right. Hmm. And look, you know what I like about Ray as well, and whether or not this is Mary Sue related or not. A friend of mine,
sweet speeder.
That's right. Yeah, it's great, right? A friend of mine came in the other day. He's got a little girl. She's like 7. And I had that Art of the Force Awakens book, and we're going through it. And he's like, you know what? The best thing about this is she's now got like a character that she can like relate to from Star Wars, who's like a Jedi, who's cool. Because he had like Amidala, I guess, and more sure. So Princess Leia.
Yep.
But this is what she kind of always wanted, and now she has that.
There you go.
So everybody gets a bloody hero, all right?
Yeah. I mean, not if you want to buy an action figure.
No,
it's real difficult to do that.
That's changing though. That they're switching.
Oh,
that
if
up.
We're talking about Force Awakens spoilers, because
we have.
We've talked about it for a long time. What do you think about, there's like a Disney Infinity game.
Oh, yeah.
And people have sent us the balls, link. It's the video. It is balls, exactly. Yeah. There's a video and people are like, oh, it's Rey versus Kylo Ren. They're having a, you know, kind of a lightsaber battle in an arena.
Sure.
And everybody's like, oh, he says cousin.
Yeah.
They're cousins.
He says curses.
He does say curses. Yeah. He says curses because he's a villain in a sci-fi series.
Yes,
and they say curses.
That's right.
That's how
and
it
works. Just happens to be like, he says face me and then she hits him and he says curses. And exactly. It just happens to line up like that.
Yeah.
And if you play that game with subtitles, that's the way the way it works.
Yeah. That being said, I'm not ruling out the idea that they're cousins.
No, I'm not ruling any of it out.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I said.
Do you think they actually know what her relation is to every other character yet?
I think they do. They have to. They're filming the second one.
Oh, okay, ready.
J.J. Abrams even came out this week and said that he did.
Okay.
I'm still banking on Kenobi, but if it was anything else, I'd be totally okay with that also.
Yeah.
Whatevs.
I'm sort of warming to the idea that she is Luke Skywalker's daughter.
Because she's good at everything like Luke?
Yeah, exactly. Because they're both bloody Mary Sue's. But also because, and I've been thinking about it more recently. I haven't gone back to see it again. And I think I should. But
sorry.
Mark Hamill really acts the hell out of that last scene.
Like yes, that last, he does.
We mentioned it, but man, he really does.
Yeah, he's,
and I think in that last, if it adds an extra layer, because the look that he gives, that long extended look,
yes,
it feels to me like, and I think I mentioned this when we reviewed it, but it's like, I've put this plan in motion, but I wish it wasn't happening.
I hate this.
Like to me, it feels like he's seen this vision and he knows that there's somebody who's adept at the Force who's coming along and he has to train that person.
Yeah.
But the end result is going to be like death.
Yeah.
Or like bad stuff.
That's right.
Or maybe not, maybe generally or maybe specifically, maybe he's like, well, if this happens, Han Solo is going to die.
Sure.
And whoever.
Yeah.
Maybe this.
All those planets that
all
blew
the planets,
up.
That planet that was Coruscant, but maybe it isn't Coruscant.
It's not. But yeah.
Okay. Or like, you know, maybe this person who I'm going to train is going to save the day, but then they're going to die as well.
Yeah.
Right. So when she shows up, he's like, oh no, that means Han's dead. That means there's trouble. But if that's his daughter, that adds an extra layer because it's like my prophecy is the vision's come true and that's my daughter and she's going to die.
He's like, that's balls.
Yeah, I'm against it, he says.
You're right.
A lot of people are like, because there's some deleted scenes, right? Or something like that. There's more Luke Skywalker?
Well, depending on the version, he was going to be in it more and they cut him out because he kind of drew focus whenever he turned up.
But I'm glad that he got the time that he got. I think that's the perfect amount of time.
And you know what? They didn't lie.
He was in it.
Yeah, but exactly. But he wasn't on any of the posters. He wasn't in any of the promo material. He was kind of in the trailer briefly.
Uh-huh.
Like, they weren't like, he didn't do the press interviews.
Yep.
So, you know.
Nice.
He's in it as much as he is. What a bloody Mary Sue, mate.
Yeah. Into the bin, Mark Hamill. Oh, I'm good at acting and I'm good at voice acting. Into the bin.
You heard he's doing the killing joke at the moment.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the killing joke version that they're doing, it's going to expand on the original story, which is cool.
Wow.
I'm very excited for that.
Great.
That'll be super cool, won't it?
Yes.
You know what it's time for?
That could be your catchphrase.
Oh, yeah, I don't like True Dat, even though there's a T-shirt.
There's now a T-shirt. Some Golden Legend, our T-shirt artist, has made a T-shirt.
Yeah.
It's too late.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good T-shirt.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. You know what it's time for?
What's it time for?
What we reading.
What are we going to read?
You could have at least done it. You could have matched my energy.
Sorry. It's not what we're about.
I'm doing the thing. What are we reading today?
What have you been reading this week?
A couple of things.
Oh, yeah.
I mentioned I rewatched The Prestige.
Yes, that's right.
Bowie is great in that movie.
Yes.
Here's the thing about that movie, though.
I'm ready.
I enjoyed it a lot more than I initially did. Spoiler alert, the cloning machine is dumb. It makes no sense. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Christian Bale or Hugh Jackman putting on a fake beard and going to each other's shows.
Yeah, there
is. There's a lot of that.
Yep.
But the characters themselves and the rivalry and the obsession that drives them is fascinating.
Uh-huh.
And so that element, I really like that story. I think it is a good movie.
Yeah.
There's some, like, I'm sure you'd agree with this, like a lot of Christopher Nolan films, depending on what you believe, there's like a game-breaking element.
There is always one element. I was just going to say, there's always one element that I go, oh, if he'd edited around that, if he'd found another way, that would have been better.
Yeah.
Like, again, like, in The Prestige, there's one character has this trick, and the other character doesn't understand how he does it, and so he spends his whole life trying to replicate it, and in the end he discovers this cloning machine, and it eventually... What the cloning machine does is it clones him and puts him in the other side of the room, and then he kills the other clone. So he spent years just killing a version of him that maybe was the real him, or maybe he's the clone.
Well, it's weird because at one point, the first time he tries it, he's still standing in the machine, and he kills the other version of himself who appears on the other side of the room.
Yeah.
And then from every subsequent time, the version that steps into the machine drops under the floor and drowns, and he becomes the version that's... across the theater.
Right, okay.
So, whatever way you look at it, neither of those are the original version of him.
Very true.
And he's got great hair and a series of fake beards.
Yeah. But again, like if it had just been a different trick and the other guy attempts to replicate it in a way that is slowly killing him or something like that, maybe it's a chemical reaction or something like that, and he keeps trying it and it eventually kills him. That would perfectly slot in with this element of obsession that eventually does you in. But I guess there was a cloning machine in the book. I don't know.
Probably. But the thing is, every other aspect of that story is grounded in the real world. Yeah. And I love the practicality of this is how we kind of used to do magic tricks. And it's all the pulleys and levers and crushing birds in cages and shit like that. And then it's just like, and a cloning machine.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got another thing, but what are you reading?
Oh, well, I think what we're both reading this week, we both watched the season 3 of Marin.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that a lot?
I really enjoy it.
Yeah, very good.
I like it a lot. Mm-hmm. I like that guy. He's fascinating.
Yeah.
And he makes a good show.
Actually,
because I was watching this when you came round, and I said, I think it might be better than Louis.
Yeah.
What do you think? I think I relate to that guy more than I like Louis a lot. It's a great show. Uh-huh. But I think I relate to that guy more.
I feel, I don't know, Marin I feel is a lot more sitcom-y.
Okay, yeah, I'd agree with
that. It feels more like...
What a wacky scenario.
Yeah, like a wacky scenario, exactly. Yeah. There's a wacky scenario every week.
Yeah.
And with Louis, there's also kind of a wacky scenario, but it's more... It's a much more grim, wacky scenario, generally speaking.
Sure.
Yeah. Speaking of Netflix, I watched Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
I've seen that.
What'd you think?
It's fine.
Yeah. Look, it's not as good as the first. I really like the first one a lot.
Me too. Yeah.
The second one isn't as good because it's not. Like, the first one was kind of this metaphor of, like, what if you could go back in time? Would you change the regrets you had in the past, knowing that it would change who you are in the future, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Hot Tub Time Machine 2 is basically, let's go into the future and do some dumb stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
That's some dumb future stuff. The problem with the worst part about Hot Tub Time Machine 2, and I don't know why I'm spending any amount of time on this at all, is that in the trailer, you see like Rob Corddry's character show up and he's dressed like a American Civil War soldier, Revolutionary soldier, and he's like, "We've got to create America," kind of thing. And that is like after the actual plot of the movie is finished, there's like this montage at the end where they sort of go through history and ruin it, kind of thing. Like they show up at like the Martin Luther King's "I Have a Dream" speech, and they become the Beatles, and they do all this sort of stuff, and I wish the whole movie was that.
Yeah,
like just
enough.
A series of short sketches where they go and they just...
ruin.
Just run rampant through history and just ruin everything.
Like Red Dwarf.
Like Red Dwarf, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it was all right. Yeah.
Also, Sebastian Stan wasn't in this one and he is in the first one.
Yeah.
He's Chet.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
and also
on.
There was no...
Cusack. Though he is very briefly in it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool. You know the Humble Bundles?
Yeah, the Steam like, ones. You're talking about?
Yeah, well, there's the Humble Bundle. They do like charity bundles, and you pay like money to it's like human rights a charity, and every once it's mostly like games on Steam and stuff like that. Like you pay like a couple of bucks, and you pay any amount of money, and you get a whole bunch of games.
Cool games.
And you pay like more than the average, you get more games.
Cool
you
games. Pay,
yeah, cool games, exactly. Mm. Well, this week, and I think it might be running for like another week or so, they're doing Image Comics.
Oh, cool, okay.
So for like $20, you get a whole bunch of stuff. You get the first 47 issues of Invincible,
okay,
which you like very much.
I do, yeah.
You get the whole run of Stray Bullets. Mm-hmm. You get a whole bunch of Warren Ellis stuff. You get Bitch Planet, which is really good.
I've never read that.
It's real good. It's real good, mate.
Cool.
Yeah, it's like 100 comics or something.
Oh, really?
Like
$20. Okay.
It's pretty...
It's nearly as good as the Geek Fuel thing that we do.
Yeah. It's good.
No, that's awesome.
It's not as good.
No, certainly not.
It's definitely worse than that.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
But all right. It's all kinds of... It's all, tons of Image stuff.
Sweet. I do love Image. It's true. I watched a fan film as well, which I hit on...
Wolf, which I've talked about on previous episodes, like a supernatural noir detective. First volume of that's in wolf. There.
Is he a wolf?
He's a werewolf of sorts.
Like, what's that one called? The fairy tale one.
Oh, Fables.
He's a wolf as well.
Yeah, he's also a wolf. Look, they're all bloody wolves. They can turn into wolves. Into the bin. Bloody...
There's a Star Wars fan film called Rebel Scum.
Oh, yes. A lot of people have recommended that.
Yeah, yeah. And you should definitely check it out. It's it takes place right after... What was I going to say? Right after...
Return of the Jedi.
No, Battle of Hoth. Back.
Okay.
And so one of the pilots of the after the Snowspeeder battle crashes and everybody's gone. So he's just stuck on Hoth.
Wow.
Yeah, and they went out and filmed
just
it in
him
the...
and an ion cannon. That's right. Firing in space.
So they went out into the snow where they filmed this over a year... And it's like, it's got like really amazing, like stop motion. Like they did it, like there's a whole lot of like 80s and whatever. And it's just, it's definitely worth checking out. So if it's on YouTube, Rebel Scum, tell them Mason sent you.
Yeah, all right.
Great. Anything else you're reading?
That's pretty much it.
Then get that bloody theme song going, mate.
Oh.
Get it going. Get it ready.
Yeah, all right, hang on.
Have you got it?
No.
Have you got it ready?
You've taken me by surprise with this segment we do literally every week. We've done for bloody years. Hang on.
Well, while you're getting that ready,
yes.
If people have a letter for the podcast, they can hashtag weeklyplanetpod.
Ooh, or weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
Correct. And yeah. And that's a really good way of kind of getting a question to the show that we probably won't answer because, you know, we only pick three. So, but, you know, maybe.
Letters theme.
The classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you.
It's great.
It's good stuff.
I'm glad, like I said last week, I'm glad I don't edit it in because I get to hear it. I really enjoy it. I really enjoy it. Okay, this is from @NeoTaster, hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I have to keep saying it. Repetition is the key to it's social media and
madness. SEO. Repetition is the key to madness.
Correct. What do you guys think of Ridley Scott going for a hard R rating for Alien Covenant?
Good.
Yep.
Well, yeah. What was Prometheus?
That was R. There was a weird surgery scene, and
there sure was.
Yeah. I think a guy got his face torn off. I don't know. I don't remember.
I can't.
There's no other way you can really do this.
No, PG-13. None of that. It's not going to work for an Alien film.
Oh, I think Alien v Predator was the first one was PG-13. I might be wrong. And that one was also set in a weird ice pyramid.
Yeah.
So they have a lot in common.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I am looking forward to this. I'm hoping the it's less bullshit in this one. And just sure. Like, if The Martian proved anything... It's
Ridley Scott's promised that.
It's less bullshit. Yeah. And The Martian proved anything, it's that if you just give him a good script, he'll just direct a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
And like, stylistically and, you know, his direction's obviously on point. I just feel like the stories that he's chosen recently... except for The Martian, just haven't been this.
Oh, yeah, you're doing the international symbol for that.
That's right. Yeah. What are your thoughts, though? Anything else?
I don't know.
There's certain properties that have to be PG.
Yeah.
That have to be R-rated. I'd say like a Terminator film.
Yes.
You got to give that, like any, like a Predator film, obviously. Deadpool obviously looks like it'll work as more as an R-rated thing. There's things that you kind of... Even the Die Hard movies that are PG aren't as good as the other ones.
They never work,
like,
do they?
It's, and I understand it because they probably make more money generally, but, you know.
I don't know. I don't know where this universe is going, this Aliens universe.
Going right back to Alien. We're only 10 movies away.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm expecting. I don't know what I want out of it anymore.
Nothing. You don't even want any of it, I presume. I want the Alien sequel. That's what I want. I want the one that the guy from Chappie was going to make. Neil Blomkamp.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But they've now shelved because he made Chaffee.
I think they've shelved Pacific Rim 2 as well.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Whatever. Okay, good.
That sucks, but you know, because it was a passion project.
Yeah.
It's just
I don't know what I'm expecting anymore. Just put it out. We'll see. Just do your best, Ridley Scott.
We'll make a decision on the day.
Just put it out, and we'll enjoy it or crush you. It's fine.
Either way,
just arbitrarily just put out some hate on the internet.
Either way, you won't hear about it. Yeah. So,
but how? Don't you dare put in an alien that's unnecessarily skilled at something, and it was also a lady, because we will get you.
This is from at Patrick Toomey on Twitter, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Do you think that Rogue One will ditch the opening crawl or the Star Wars type music to differentiate?
No. I think we're
opening crawl.
I think we're going to get
it. Do you think it'll be like, this happened 6 years before the first Star Wars, or 5 years or 3 years, whatever
I think it'll
be.
Say.
This is in a different parsec.
I think it'll say after the battle. I think it'll say Star Wars Rogue One.
Yep.
After the battle of blank. Something, yep. Something. So we'll get enough context to know where it fits.
Right.
I think the spin-offs are for the fans.
Right. More totally.
I think they're gonna say you need some. Well, not even really, but I don't think when you get into the movie you'll need to understand any of the backstory.
Mm.
But I think the opening crawl is gonna set the tone for people who want to know specifically where it fits in the rest of the universe and say, okay, this is after the events of blank.
Yeah.
And this has just happened, and this has just happened. Darth Vader, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then you know.
That was the rumor this week as well, that he's going to feature heavily in it, which will be cool.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, of course you would.
Yeah.
He's around that time, isn't he? Mm. That's pretty good. All right, one more thing.
Do you think they're going to give him a sweet redesign?
No. I think the rumor was that it's going to be exactly like A New Hope, which it has to be because we saw him in Revenge of the Sith and we saw him in New Hope, unless he tries something out.
I was going to say, what if he tries something out? What if there's a montage?
A series of fancy capes.
Yeah, so many capes.
Yeah, maybe one with a big kind of Doctor Strange.
Or
a Dracula-esque kind of collar. Mm. Yeah. This is from John on Facebook.
What if he's got like a mission-specific outfit?
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yep, I'm all for that.
Like a deep space one.
Yes.
You see him floating through deep space.
I don't think he
powered by the Force.
I don't think he needs that. I think we saw it in the comics recently. His boots are like magnetic and stuff as well.
Oh.
I can't remember. Maybe that was in something else. But he can go into space.
Good.
Not for long. Because that's just a leather outfit if you look real closely.
Yeah.
All right, this is from John on Facebook. What do you guys think of superhero movies?
Grappling hook Darth Vader.
Yes.
Karate chop action Darth Vader.
Ka-chow.
Deep sea Darth Vader. Lava proof Darth Vader. He's not at all. He's just regular.
What do you guys think of superhero movies killing off their villains at the end? Do you think it shoots the franchise in the foot out of the gate? Or is there no other way around the end of a satisfying story or story satisfyingly? End the story satisfyingly.
I just received a text, so I wasn't 100% paying attention.
That's okay.
What franchise are you referring to?
Any franchise.
Oh, any franchise.
A superhero movie's killing their villains.
Look, how many villains so far in the Marvel and DC movies have been super compelling?
Four.
I think if they were written more cohesively, if they had a better arc, I'd be like, oh, maybe we'd like to see
a better arc reactor.
Oh.
In the case of the Iron Man trilogy films.
Very good.
Thank you.
That's
go on. I'm leaving.
I think
back.
We should just end the podcast there. That's very good.
Drinking water.
You can just add in some applause. And yeah, look. Like, if you think of, like, Obadiah Stane, do you want to see that character again?
No.
I want to see Jeff Bridges again.
Yeah, definitely.
But I don't, like, there's no more to that character.
So you think if they're well-written, yes, and compelling, yes?
Yeah, but so few of them are, really. That is always the flaw with these movies.
Yeah.
Mary Sue's, obviously.
Mm-hmm,
sure. Get them all in the bin. First of all, let's chuck all them in the bin.
Yep.
Superman, he's from a bloody alien world.
He's
a special flower and he can shoot lasers out of his eyes and you can't hurt him even with a tank. Into the bin, Superman. Get in the bin, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, there's so many villains to get through. And if you're not going to write them as compelling characters, just give us a lot of spectacle.
Sure,
you know what I mean?
Okay.
Just give us a guy with lightning whips and a guy in a suit of armor and a whatever.
Yeah,
and
sure.
A Guy Pearce, and he's on fire, and he's got dragon tattoos, or he whatever.
That was so much spectacle.
Yeah, so much spectacle. But that doesn't seem to be the trend to give the villains. You can go either way, but if you're not going to give them any more depth, and that doesn't seem to be the trend to give them more depth.
No,
then just give us. Just go to the Marvel archive or the DC archive and just look at all the characters and go, that guy looks visually spectacular. That'll look good on film. Let's put in Batroc the Leaper.
Thank you.
Bartok is somebody else probably.
Probably. Yeah, you're right. However they want to. I don't know, but do you think you could... Would you be upset if... Who's someone that's died, exploded? Yeah, is there Purple anybody Man. You'd want to see who's dead who you'd want to see come back?
I would say Purple Man, because that was an intriguing character.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I'd agree with
but
that. Yeah.
I reckon that I don't think I could go through that again. Like, he's a very intense character.
He's very harrowing to look at. But no, he looked pretty dead. I guess he could come back in a wheelchair, maybe.
Yeah.
But he seemed pretty dead at the time, didn't he?
Yeah. I don't know. I think that maybe the TV versions are going to have more compelling
villains. You can flesh them out, can't you?
You can flesh them out,
You can give them their own backstory where they stare at a wall and then their dad's mean to them.
Yep.
Kingpin. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's it.
Also, Purple Man.
His dad was also mean to him.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
Anything else going on? What's that? What are we doing?
What do you mean?
Is this it? Is this the end of the show?
You having a breakdown? What's happening?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Where can people find us?
Oh, they can find us at Weekly Planet Pod at Gmail and Facebook and Twitter.
Yes.
And Bandcamp.
The correct.
Commentaries.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go through all the original Star Wars movies and see if there's any Mary Sue's in them.
Please.
Scream into the bin.
As it happens. Yeah, also patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter. Mason is at a different Twitter handle.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown.
That's right. Shoot us a letter if you want. Not sure next week. You know what we got to do soon?
What's up?
I think we should do this before Deadpool. We got to do...
Deadpool episode. Review Deadpool, the movie.
Yes, but even before that...
Yeah, review Deadpool.
Yes, we could. Or
based on the
maybe
trailers.
We wait.
Yeah, okay, all right, fine.
But... should we do a Deadpool episode? I don't know if I know enough about him to do a whole episode. Can you? I have to read a bunch of stuff. I've read so little Deadpool. Could you do it?
Let's see how we go.
All right. But I thought we could do Fox Marvel movies, ones that we haven't talked about.
Great.
Specifically the bad ones. Like Daredevil to an extent. It's okay. Like Elektra, the original Fantastic Four ones. Mm-hmm. Not the original, the Fox ones.
Sure.
What else we got in there? Spider-Man 3. Just the not
all the greats.
The not good stuff.
So good.
Oh, that's at Sony anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever. Do you want to do something like
that
at some point? Maybe not next week, but maybe next week.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows?
I'm not a magician.
Thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham 424 for many themes.
That's right. What a legend. He reached out to me on, what was I going to say? On email.
We'll send him a t-shirt.
Yeah, right. I was like, thanks, man. You're a good bloke.
Nice. Patreon.com/MrSundayMovies.
Yes.
That's the last thing.
Yep.
That's the last thing we're shilling this week, right?
That's all the things.
Yeah.
It's all the Very bloody good. Things. All right.
Thanks to everyone for reviewing and subscribing and all that sort of stuff.
It really helps.
It does.
Yeah.
Our self-esteem.
Yes.
It's been really in the toilet lately. So a whole bunch of people called us Mary Sue's.
We had to climb into a bin.
But it feels good when people download and subscribe and tell their friends.
That's real nice. No, it does. It really helps. And, it means we can keep doing this for as long as, I don't know, till one of us dies. Probably me.
One can only hope.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Grab that jam, everybody.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.